الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد القهار عزيز غفار وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله تعالى we continue with our series on إصلاح النفوس, how the reformation of the nafs. And a lot of people, they ask me, what does إصلاح mean? And sometimes when I give a lecture, I don't say the meaning of a word. For example, if we teach fiqh, I never translate it except maybe in the very beginning. Why? So while people are listening, it catches their mind, keeps them awake, most importantly. And at the end of the lecture, they will say, what's this word islah? What's this word islah? So now, alhamdulillah, they learned the new vocabulary word in Arabic. Then when they come to me, I tell them the meaning of islah is to reform. Alhamdulillah. So al-islah means to reform. Islah al-nufus, the reformment of the soul. And as we discussed in the first lecture, this reformation process of the soul is only one part of a total process. And we explained that in some detail. And then yesterday, we talked about the steps of coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or maintaining our relationship with Allah through belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we gave some verses how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches faith through the Quran itself. Because as we said, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their faith was nurtured on the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what led to those dynamic personalities that we read about amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, khairun nas, the best of people, radiyallahu anhum wa radha. And then we talked about, toward the end of our discussion, the nafs. What are the nafs? And there's a great amount of difference amongst the theologians of the Muslim ummah as to what is the nafs. But I prefer the simple understanding of Imam al-Qurtubi and other ulama. They said the nafs is the soul, the life of the human being. And the dalil for that, وَلَا تَقَتُلُوا نَفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not kill a soul, and Allah uses the word for soul here, nafs, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden to you, except with a just cause. And then we talked about the division of the nafs into three parts. Who can remember the first one? Al-Amara, the soul which is mentioned in Surah Yusuf, the name of this aspect of the soul, إِنَّ نَفْسَ الْأَمَارَةِ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. The soul which pushes the person towards evil, the aspect of the soul which pushes the person towards فَحْشَ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The next was نَفْسُ الْأَوَامَةِ, mentioned in which surah? Surah Al-Qiyamah, mashallah. لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. If you notice something interesting about the lecture, we keep referring only to the Qur'an, subhanAllah, and the Sunnah of Rasulullah, because it's sufficient. And some statements of the Salaf al-Salih. And the last one is نَفْسُل مُطْمَئِنَّ, and everybody knows that one, in Surah Al-Fajr, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ, the soul which is well-pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the satisfied soul. And then we talked about the danger of the soul, and we gave some of the statements of the scholars, especially the statement of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, who said the example of the soul is like the thief, except this time the thief is in the house. If he's outside of the house, it's easy to defend against him, but now he's entered into your dwelling, and not only that, he lives and eats with you, sleeps with you, he listens to you, he's everywhere you are, because he's part of you. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll continue to talk about islah al-nufus, but now we're slowly shift into the obstacles to this process. And then the last series of lectures, inshallah ta'ala, when we return, inshallah, to the Bay Area, we'll talk about fortifying agents. What are those things that we can do to keep the soul strong, to keep the soul healthy, to make sure that the soul is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a common misconception about this process, this tarbiyah process, this purification of our soul, that is an impossibility. And for many of us, that causes us to immediately shut the process off. Khalas, I'm corrupted, I'm ruined. No need to even discuss it. I'm too weak to handle this. This is one of the tricks of shaitan. So what are some ways that we can defeat this waswas? Because shaitan, if he can get to you before you even start out on the race, he won. Before the gun is even sounded, if you say, I quit, I'm not going to enter into the struggle, then shaitan, he's the winner immediately. Therefore, this is his first aim of attack. To tell you, you're a sinner, you're far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you committed so many things in your life, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever forgive you? A'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't give up on Allah's mercy. And this lam is called lam lam al-nahi. It means you are forbidden to give up on Allah's mercy. That's why the noon in the af'alu khamsa is hidden. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. The noon is hidden in the verb in Arabic, and that's why to understand and know Arabic is very important, because in English you don't feel it. But in Arabic you feel it, because you know there has to be a noon there. لا تقنطوا تقنطونا. Where's the noon? The noon is gone because Allah wants to tell you that this action is forbidden on you. It's forbidden on you to what? Give up on Allah's mercy. So number one, the first thing that we can do to fight this problem is to learn. Learn about the problem that we have. And we go back to those four arkan of mujahida that were mentioned by Ibn Qayyim. To learn, to act, to make da'wah, and to be patient. Surat al-Asr. Imam al-Shafi'i said, rahimahullah ta'ala, if Surat al-Asr was the only thing sent to people, it would be enough for them. And these four pillars are the way to start. Identify a problem in your life. For example, ghibah. Maybe I have the problem of backbiting people. So let me read about ghibah. Let me read some of the ahadith about backbiting, what the Prophet ﷺ said about it, about namima, annamama la yadkhulu jannah, the one who carries information about people will not enter the paradise. Bad information about people and spreads tales. So I can, you know, scare myself a little bit, wake myself up. And then let me read some books or some verses of Quran. وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people who carry tails. Look in Surah Al-Lahab. Why did Allah say حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبْ? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Imratul, the wife of Abi Lahab, that she carries fire with her? Because the ulama said she used to backbite people. And backbiting people is like fire, because once it goes into the ear, it goes into the heart, it starts to burn. Yeah, I knew he was always like that. Starts to burn in the hearts. Let me read Surah Al-Hujurat, or listen to the tafsir that we made here over 1 year ago on Surah Al-Hujurat about backbiting and the dangers of backbiting in the community. So then I see that it's an evil. And then let me read, for example, the book of Ibn Qudama, as I mentioned yesterday, Manhaj al-Qasidin. Or the book in English of, people are asking me what's a good book to read on the subject, the book of Ustad Khurram Marad, In the Early Hours. How to rid myself of this problem. So I have to act on it now. Then the next time I'm sitting with some sisters drinking some dood patti or something, or hanging out with our brothers, and somebody starts to backbite someone, now I have to make da'wah. Akhi, fear Allah, akhi. Don't talk about this brother like this. That's difficult. And read in the book Riyadh al-Salihin, excuse me, of Imam Manawi, about the hadith of the virtues of standing up for the person who's being backbited. What will happen to the one on the Day of Judgment who stops somebody from backbiting about his brother? So let me focus on something like backbiting. Or maybe I have a problem of zina. Maybe I cannot control my sexual desires. So let me read about these things. Maybe I'm somebody who lies. Maybe I'm not merciful to my children. Maybe I'm not merciful to my wife. We come home to our wife, what do we say? What's wrong, ya Habibi? I had a bad day today. She also had a bad day. 5 kids? Trying to cook with 5 kids? Today I had to watch my two kids. Look at my eyes, man. I feel like I went 10 rounds with Tyson in the late 80s. So mercy, mercy with my wife, mercy with my kids, mercy with my husband, mercy with the believers, mercy with the people around me. Let me exercise some aspect of this tazkiyah so I can be from alladhina amilu salihat. Not just from the people who know. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاتِ. Those people who have the Torah, like what? كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. They know, but no practice. And the ulama said that the Muslims, by their nature, will tend to lean toward this type of people. A lot of knowledge, but little practice. And da'wah. So when someone does something wrong, أخي والله فِي الله. الدين نصيحة. And the last one, to be patient. But akhi, if I tell that brother don't do that, he's not going to be my friend anymore. So what, akhi? He wasn't your friend in the first place. When I became Muslim, 2 days after I became Muslim, my phone stopped ringing because it spread out in the hood. Oh man, he became a weirdo. He became a religious freak. He doesn't even smoke that anymore. He doesn't go to the club anymore. Man, he don't be calling girls no more. Man, I think he's a sissy or something. And the phone stopped ringing. And I came to a strong realization in that point in my life, at the age of 20, that these people were never my friends. They were never my friends, because if they were truly my friends, they would have stayed with me for the whole run of things. So Ibn Qayyim, he said these four important aspects. That's the first step, to do something. Because if you don't do something, it leads to what? More frustration. More frustration leads to what? A bad image towards Allah. وَيَعَذَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Number two is to realize who you worship. Who is it that you're trying to get close to? Is the one who doesn't listen? Is the one who doesn't care about his servants? Is the one who is neglectful of his slaves and his ibad? وَأَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. You worship Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to you مِنْ حَبَلِ الْوَرِيدِ than your own jugular vein by his knowledge. And he cares about you. The proof that he cared about you, you're living right now. هُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ. He created you. وَأَنْشَأَكُمْ. And he caused you to develop. So how could you think he doesn't care about you? Oh, if I worship him, nothing's going to happen. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. You worship in Allah, هُوَ الْحَقِّ, who's the ilah in truth. So if you know you're worshiping Allah, you should be confident. I remember when I was flying into America, I was worried, man, what's going to happen when I land in the airport? Why you been in Egypt? ماذا فعلت هناك يا رجل ومن زرت. So I started making some dua, and I was scared. Then I said to myself, who you calling on, akhi? Who you making dua to? You making dua to Allah. Then subhanAllah, I felt I was at ease. So who is it you trying to get close to, that you want to take steps to, that you want to be close to? Is Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only ilah. Therefore, you should be happy and not despair. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Why? وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't be sad, don't be scared. If you're believers, you'll get there. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will come. And that's what Ibrahim al-Adham, wallahi al-azim, he said something, every time I hear it, it affects me. He was somebody who worked hard to be close to Allah. And in the eyes of society, he was low, except amongst the salihin and the students of knowledge. Ibrahim al-Adham said, wallahi, if the kings knew the pleasure that we have in our hearts from striving towards Allah, then they would fight us. They would declare jihad on us to take the feeling from our hearts. Allahu Akbar. And what does Allah say? وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. Allah says, and those who strive in our way, then he says, نَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. This slam, it means, wallahi, we will. And why did Allah use we? Again, to emphasize. He didn't say, I will, we will. And then he brought noon, what's called noon at-tawqid. I'll give an example. If I was to speak in English and say, Shifa, if you don't stop that, I'm going to hit you. I was just talking about rahmah, but inshallah, it's hypothetical. If I was to use lam at-tawqid and noon at-tawqid in English, it would be, Shifa, if you do that again, wallahi, wallahi, I'm going to hit you. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those people who strive towards Allah with the book and the sunnah, come unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, indeed, we're going to guide them. So how can anyone distress? How can anybody say, oh, I can't do it. You know, I did this back in the days. I did that. I did this. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله أخي. And sometimes we say this, why? Because we really don't want to do anything. So we defeat ourselves in the starting blocks. So that's number two. Realize who it is you want to take steps to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Hadith Qudsi, one step to me, 10 steps to you. You walk to me, I run to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this process in the lives of the companions. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah said that the companions were in dalala. They were astray. But later on, he talks about this relationship that Allah has with the companions. And sometimes we should look at these verses in this way. The spiritual relationship that existed between the hearts of the Sahaba and Allah. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them in the Quran that they were divided. لَوْ أَنْفَقَتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Oh Muhammad, if you spend everything in the world to unite these people, you couldn't do it. Who was it that caused these people who used to be وَكُنْتُمْ أَعْدَى. They used to be enemies to each other. Who was it that brought them together, brought their hearts together? Was Allah. Tazkiyah, tarbiyah. Then in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allahu Akbar. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the companions directly. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made iman beloved to you. And he used beautiful, فَعَلَ زَيَّنَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Not only did Allah make it beautiful to you, but he decorated your hearts with iman. He put some tawakkul, some ihsan, some khawf, some khasha. So the heart is literally decorated with the iman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is put in the heart. And then what happens? إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجَعَلَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Then the companions of the Prophet were given this furqan. Like Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that's why his name is Al-Faruq. Because he goes this way, shaitan goes this way. So if you look in the Quran at the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't talk about the companions physical, he talks about their hearts, you see this transformation over time of the nufus, especially in the verse in Surah Ali Imran, which I alluded to earlier. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبَلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Allahu Akbar, the transformation of these people that Allah is describing. That you used to be enemies to one another. You used to hate one another. And you were on the brink of hell. And Allah pulled you from this and saved you from the hellfire. And made you what? كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِنَاسِ. The last one, and we alluded to it in the first point. But why I'm mentioning it again? Because this is a principle sometime in Usul al-Fiqh is used. To take a issue which belongs to a large issue and show it to the people. Why? To show its importance. Like for example in Surah Al-Baqarah, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَمِكَائِيلُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever is the enemy of Allah and his angels. Then he said what? Jibreel and Mikael. Aren't Jibreel and Mikael angels? So why did Allah mention Jibreel and Mikael? Because they're the two most important angels. When the khas is taken from the am in Usul al-Fiqh to show its importance. So here also we're going to do it with the third point. That should help us overcome our distress and our sadness is Allah's rahmah. And Rasulullah on behalf of Abu Hurairah, who reported this hadith to us from Imam al-Bukhari, he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created creation, he wrote what? That his mercy will overcome his wrath. Rahmatullahi wasi'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa usibu, I will inflict my adab to the one I wish. Wa rahmati. وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. But my mercy encompasses everything. رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in authentic hadith, he created rahmah into 100 parts. 99 he kept with him. And one, only one he sent to this life, this dunya. And because of that, the animal, it raves its foot so it won't hurt its infant. Those 99 aspects of rahmah, Allah saved for when? The day of judgment. Rahmatullahi wasi'ah. You are from the people of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Al-Hakami narrates a hadith with a good narration. He said this hadith is sound, that a man on the day of judgment, he will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Muslim. And he will see 99 books opened, and each book, one side of the page to the other, is from the horizon, the east to the west. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Everything he did written down. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, did you do any good? And he's going to be so scared, he's going to say no. I didn't do any good. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the mizan, the scales. And he will order those 99 books to be put on one scale and one piece of paper on another scale. And it will be weighed. And that piece of paper will be heavier. Then he will hear what? Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Go to Jannah. He's going to say how? This 99 books also were his sayyi'at. How? Then that piece of paper will be opened. It will say what? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So why the Muslim? I don't know. I can't get close to Allah. I smoke. Stop smoking, akhi. I got a girlfriend. What are your girlfriend? I don't know. I like to look at bad things on the internet. Get rid of it. Take care of your problems. Eradicate them. And that's the process that we talked about yesterday and the day before. Takhliya wa tahliya. The ulama said takhliya means to remove something, to take it away, to get rid of it. Wa tahliya means to adorn yourself. So you get rid of this evil quality and you replace it with walibasu taqwa, dharika khair. With something which is better. We'll start now, inshaAllah ta'ala, talking about the first obstacle in our road to get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what the Qur'an defined as hubb dunya, the love of this life. And inshallah, we have some goals. And as I mentioned a few times, one of the goals of this series is to bring it into a concrete, visible means of understanding this process. Because we don't want to learn about this, islah nufus, and it's only, for example, intellectual gymnastics. But we want to be able to implement it and practice it here in North America as American Muslims, as people who live in this land. Because sometimes we feel that the only way we can practice this islah is to be away from everybody. No doubt there are times for this in one's life. But remember that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, after the Prophet died, where did they go? The vast majority of them went to the largest cities that were surrounding the Arabian Peninsula. Why did they go to the largest cities? Because they knew it was there that they'd have the biggest impact on the people. If all of them would have ran away from the people, then the da'wah would have crashed. So the vast majority of the Sahaba who didn't stay in Medina, because a large percentage of them during Umar's time, he wanted them in Medina because of their knowledge and their ikhlas. But a large percentage of them went to the major cities. It's an interesting point. They knew there that they would have the greatest impact on the masses of the population. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He sets for us a parable about this dunya. And notice every time that we introduced a concept, we went to the Quran or the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because when we introduce concepts through the Quranic understanding, like islah, like a nafs, like a zuhd, like a dunya, if somebody focuses on the Quran and let the Quran write itself on their heart, it can only lead to one type of personality, is a balanced personality. وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. If they ponder on the Quran and ask the people of knowledge if they don't understand things, the Quran itself creates a personality of balance. As Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, we have made you an ummah which is balanced. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, خَطَّ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ خَطَّ. One day the Prophet drew a line like this. And he said, this is the way of Allah. Then he drew lines perpendicular to that line. And he said, these ways, these are the ways of shaitan. Every one of these ways has a shaitan on it calling you to it. Then he read the verse in Surah An'am where Allah says, and this is my way, the way of Allah, so follow it, pointing at the straight line. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in the Musnad, he says that the Prophet ﷺ said that this is the way of balance, al-wasatiyya. So the Quran itself creates a balanced personality. And we see this problem in America, especially with those of us who became Muslim, that we lose balance. I'm not an American, man. Where was you born? I was born in Brooklyn. You're a New Yorker? No, I don't know. I'm from Islamistan. MashaAllah, akhi. So the Quran creates a balanced personality that the brother doesn't come into Islam and he swerves to the extreme. Everybody's a kafir. Then a month later, nobody's a kafir. Akhi, subhanAllah, a month ago you were saying everybody's kafir. Now nobody's a kafir. Akhi, where are you at? So this disconnection from the Quran creates a lack of identity. And the lack of identity creates an absence of balance. And the Quran's goal is to create a balanced mu'min. And we struggle with this, all of us. And that's why every day in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. Not the path of those who went this way or that way, but this way, the straight way, balance. So now we introduce the concept of ad-dunya, as the Quran presents it. Because remember that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, how were they introduced to these concepts? Through the Quran itself. There wasn't a lot of books in the time of the companions. Don't get me wrong and go and throw your books away. They didn't need books. They had the language, they were the companions, and they were with Rasulullah ﷺ. But it created a balanced personality in their life. And if there wasn't balance, the Prophet would put them in check. Look at the hadith found in Sahih Bukhari. Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would order the companions to do something, he would order them to do something that they could do. And the hadith says the meaning that they got angry. Now if you read this hadith in Arabic, you think they must have got angry like when my mom tells me go and clean my room, you know. I don't want to clean my room, man. Or my mother tells me, go and enroll in college. I still got a few more days. Or my wife tells me, you know, why don't you do the dishes tonight? Man, I don't want to do dishes tonight. Or if, for example, we say to our wife, you know, why don't you cook this? Mustahab, if you do it, sister, get ajr. I don't want to cook that, man. I already had the stuff already ready. But this is not how the hadith is meant in Arabic. The hadith in Arabic is meant what? That they wanted to do more. And the Prophet held them back from being extremists and they got angry. Ya Rasulullah, I can do more than that. I can do more than that. I can do more than that. But the Prophet's job is to keep you what? Balanced. And that's why you have the son of Amr ibn As. He said, I'm going to fast every single day. The Prophet told him, don't do it. Okay, I'm going to do this. Don't do it. I'm going to do this. Don't do it. I'm going to do this. And then after the Prophet died and he was an old man, he said, what? I should have listened to what the Prophet told me. The best fast is the fast of Dawood every other day because this is wasatiyya. It's balance. So now we see how the Quran presents the concept of dunya to create a balanced personality because now we see two types of Muslims. We see the Muslim who says, I don't want to be involved in politics. Why? It's dunya, akhi. Kerry, man, it's dunya. Bush, lot of dunya. Ralph Nader, little dunya. Right? On the other end, check out my new Rolex, akhi. I got it in Mecca. It's not real gold, though. But it looks like it, doesn't it? Yeah. And then I got a cellular phone. I can call someone on the moon with a cellular phone, akhi. Akhi, nobody lives on the moon. Yeah, but if they did, I could call them. Israf, wasting. Two extremes. The Quran creates balance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة. Know that indeed this life, حياة الدنيا, is play and jest. وَتَفَاخْرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ and making yourself, you know, I'm the best. I got it going on. وَتَكَاثُرُوا فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ and the competition to consume and to accumulate money, property, and kids. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارِ, like a rain which amazes the kuffar. Doesn't mean here kuffar, because in the old days, kafir is the farmer. Why we call kafir kafir? Because that person covered up their fitrah. Just like the kafir, the farmer, he covers up the seed with dirt. Look at the beautiful nature of the Arabic language, subhanAllah. So they covered up their fitrah. But this here is a farmer. But don't go to an Arab country and say, ain't a kafir yani. You might get in trouble. Zara, mumkin ahsan. And he's amazed by this vegetation that comes out. Oh, wow. Then after some time, the vegetation starts to wither away and become yellow, and it's gone. As happy as he was pleased with it, as fast as he was pleased with it, as fast it was gone. Then Allah said, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, that this hayatul dunya is another place of mata'ul ghurur. And here Allah says in Surah Al-Hadid that in the akhirah is مَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. That in the hereafter is the forgiveness of Allah, and other places also the punishment of Allah. Imam Qurtubi said something amazing. I want the youth to pay attention. And your youth till you're 40, according to the Jamhur. Imam Qurtubi said that actually this is talking about the person, his life. So it starts out like a seed, subhanAllah, interesting. And slowly grows and grows and grows. Now young people, when do you think that nabat, that vegetation reaches the point that people are pleased with it, is in what part of life? Is youth. Allahu Akbar. Look at the power of the Quranic language and the beauty of the metaphors of the Quran, the balagha of the Quran, the tashbih of the Quran. So the young person is the one where the plant is, bam, you know, really nice. And the young people understand what that means. And then after that comes decline. This is this life. Short, not long. And don't become too amazed with it, because it will pass. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in the Quran not to be deceived by al-ghurur. Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna wa'adallahi haq, fala taghurrannakum al-hayatu dunya, wala yaghurrannakum billahi al-ghurur. O mankind, know that the promise of Allah is true, al-akhirah. So don't be deceived by this life. And don't be deceived by the deceiver. And the ulama said the deceiver is, of course, shaitan. We look at some of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He said, alayhi salatu salam, what is this life? Mad dunya. I mean, what is this life? The example of this life, he said, and this hadith is sound, is if you stuck your finger and the water and pulled it out, and what's left is dunya, and what's left in the water is al-akhirah. This is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I was in the College of Education, they started to teach us about what's called visual learning, where you use like visual aids and teach people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing this many, many years ago, as well as all of the other Anbiya. An authentic hadith, one day he was walking with his companions, and they saw a young goat whose ears were clipped. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he grabbed this goat and he said to them, Ayyukum, which one of you would love to have this for one dirham? They said, Ya Rasulullah, none of us want this for one dirham. He said, okay, which one of you, just if it was alive, you would take it? They said, Ya Rasulullah, if we take it, it's injured and its ears are clipped. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them, فَوَاللَّهِ لَدُّنْيَا أَهْوَنُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذَا عَلَيْكُمْ. He said, by Allah, the life of this world is of less value to Allah than this is to you. To put it in their hearts. Because we know that in front of the companions was a great struggle. If their hearts were attached to this life, they couldn't have done it. And that's why Allah said, يُزَكِّيهِمْ, was sent to purify them, their akhlaq as well as their souls. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. What did the Prophet say about this dunya? Ala inna dunya mal'una. He said that this dunya is cursed. Mal'una. It is cursed. Illa dhikr Allah ta'ala. Except dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ma wallah. And anything that helps in making dhikr. And this is where we see the comprehensive nature. Now somebody's going to go and say, I quit my job tomorrow at Intel. Why? I just want to make dhikr. Akhi, you have a job at Intel? You can save money. Go overseas, study.
come to the masjid with your car. It helps you to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al, the Prophet said, the scholar or the student. Every nation has had its affliction. If we look at, for example, the nation of Bani Israel, their affliction, the Prophet said, with our respect to our sisters, was women. Brothers, help me leave tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala. But this is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَمَعَنَا وَطَعَنَا. The affliction of the followers of Jesus was lack of knowledge that led them to some strange ideas and problems. The affliction of this ummah is what? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِتْنَةٍ. Every nation has had its trial. Every nation. وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. And the trial of my nation will be property and wealth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, four things lead to being miserable. He said, جُمُودُ الْعَيْنِ, the dry eye. Never cries. And we have, inshallah, one night on crying. وَقَصْوَةُ الْقَلْبِ, and the hard heart. وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ, false hopes. وَحِرْصَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا, and somebody who savors and works hard and strives for الدُّنْيَا. صلى الله عليه وسلم. But let's make an important distinction. Does this mean that we leave everything? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard wa anzala min as-samai ma'an fa akhraja bihi min ath-thamarati rizqan lakum wa sakhkhara lakum al-fulka litajri fil bahri bi amri wa sakhkhara lakum al-anhar wa sakhkhara lakum ash-shamsa wal-qamara da'ibain wa sakhkhara lakum al-layla wan-nahar. This is important. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Sheikh Sha'rawi rahimahullah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, in Surah Ibrahim, He said, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ فَعَلَ يُفَاعِلُ تَفْعِيلًا. سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has empowered what to you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has empowered or employed or subjugated to you the boats which ride on the seas. And He subjugated to you the rivers and the day and the night and the moon and the sun. If our job in this life was to run away from everything, then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugate these things to us? So now we can maybe get a clearer understanding as we move on, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْبَحْرِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated to you the seas. Why? لِتَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ لَحْمَ طَرِيَّ, that you can eat from this sea sweet and delicious meat. And Allah says, وَتَسْتَخْرِجُوا مِنْهُ هِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has enabled you to do what with the sea? To take out jewels that you can decorate yourself with, that you can adorn yourself with for our sisters. So here we see the understanding of dunya, but now we come into the balanced understanding. Allah used, also interesting enough, لِتَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ لَمْ لَمَ تَعْلِيلُ, that this was done, why? So you can do this. You can eat from it, and you can decorate yourself, and so on and so forth. The Anbiya were the people who had the best tazkiyah. Nobody had better tazkiyah than the prophets. And that's why we have to be careful sometime. We have the models of the prophets and the model of others. The prophets takes first place, without any consideration or doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sad, He mentions the story of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhim as-salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اصبر على ما يقولون, be patient about what they say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. واذكر عبدنا داود, and remember our servant Dawood alayhi salam. إنه أواب, in the end of the verse Allah mentions that he was from the people of Tawbah. Then Allah says, إِنَّا سَخَّرْنَا الْجِبَالَ مَعَهُ يُسَبِّحْنَا بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِشْرَاقِ وَالطَّيْرَ مَحْشُورَ كُلٌّ لَهُ أَوَّابٌ. Then Allah says, we subjugated the mountains and the birds to Dawood. Why? يُسَبِّحْ,
to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mountains and birds are from dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated these things to Dawood. Why? So that he could use them to what? Worship Allah. And just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated those things to Dawood, for us as well, the moon, the sun, the stars, the earth, the resources been subjugated to us to use to what? To worship Allah. And if you got this point, now you can get the complete understanding of what? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. I want to worship you, طيب. You want to worship Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What if he ordered you to worship him with nothing? How can you worship him? You have nothing. And then somebody comes and says, give sadaqah. Well, I don't have anything, akhi. I have nothing. طيب, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ. Allah has subjugated these things to you. Why? To worship him. And to create the strong bond between you and him. Not only do I have to worship you, but in addition to worshiping you, I need your help. So I am what? I am your slave. I'm your abd. Because I can't even worship you without you. And this is a deep concept. I can't worship Allah without Allah. Therefore, when I worship Allah, and that's why Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, whenever you say alhamdulillah again. Because when you say alhamdulillah, that was a blessing from Allah that you could say alhamdulillah. So now you have to say what? Alhamdulillah. So your whole life you're going to be what? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadi. Alhamdulillah. Always making shukr to him. Because without him, we couldn't worship him. And we've been created to worship him. And because of that, he subjugated this life to us to worship him. Now we can understand. The other prophets of Allah. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Adam? Think, inshaAllah. Ilm, mashaAllah. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Why did he give him knowledge? Because Allah knew, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبَدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. He knew that shaitan would trick Adam, and eventually Adam will wind up in this earth. And in order to use the things that Allah is going to give him, he needs what? Ilm. And Ibn Qayyim said the first pillar of Mujahida is what? Ilm. Allahu Akbar. Then what else did he give Adam? Yalla, sisters, you can't forget this one. And brothers, you better not forget this one. You'll be in big trouble. He gave him a wife. If he had no purpose, if he had nothing to do in the dunya, just go to dunya, die, and that's it, it's over with. Not only did he give him a wife, he gave him sons. Nuh alayhi salatu salam. What did Allah order him to do? Build a boat. Idris. What did Idris, he was the first one to what? To write. Yusuf. What did Allah give Yusuf? Dreams, the ability to interpret dreams. What else? It's interesting, Yusuf. Managerial qualities. Economic understanding. Better than Greenspan. By 1,000 years. What else did he give Yusuf? Beauty. It was handsome. And if there was no need for dunya, he wouldn't have been made beautiful. He was so beautiful that when those women saw him, Hadha Malik. That's an angel. They cut their hands. Musa alayhi salam. Allah gave him this shining hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him mu'jizat. He split the sea. He threw his stick on the ground. It became a snake. Isa alayhi salatu salam, the ability to cure the sick and raise the dead. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the eloquence of the Arabic speech. The Prophet said, I am the most eloquent of the Arabs in speech. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To the extent that I was reading one day a dictionary in Arabic written by a Christian, and he used an example for harf al-jazm lam, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Allahu Akbar. He's a non-Muslim, he's a Christian, he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and the example that he uses for lam is that he has not begotten nor is he begotten. Subhanallah. Because it's fasih. He can't get around it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these anbiya things which would be considered what? Dunya oriented. Kids, beauty. Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam. What did Allah give him? And what did he ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for?
in Surah Al-Sad. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi ghfirli. Oh, he subhanAllah, they begin the dua, Innani amana bik aw faghfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. And give me a kingdom which will never be bestowed on anyone else. He's asking for power, for a kingdom. Why? What's the purpose of this? To worship you. And this will help us, inshallah, to get the balanced understanding of a dunya and our relationship to dunya. That we have to realize that there's a difference between being the slave of dunya and owning the dunya. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَتَمْلِيكُ الدُّنْيَا. Somebody covets the dunya like the guy who killed four people for his Xbox. This is حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. Or I was reading when PlayStation 2 came out, this guy, he came out of the store, yeah, I got my PlayStation. Bam! He gets hit in the face, somebody grabs his PlayStation, runs, jumps in the car and drives off. It's حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, Shaykh. Or make someone, for example, in Enron, who are Republicans, by the way. These people are multimillionaires. And if you read the docket on these people, you know, the charges and so on and so forth, the amount of money that they already had, you say to yourself, why? Well, see, I had $45 million, but I just needed $2 more million. Just two more. And what did the prophet say? The son of Adam, if he's given a mountain of gold, will not be satisfied till he's given another mountain and another mountain and another mountain and another mountain and another mountain. And the only thing that will satisfy his quest or his thirst for this is dirt when it goes in his mouth when he put in his grave. So this is حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. But then you have the one who owns the dunya. He owns the dunya. She owns the dunya. Not owned by the dunya. There's a difference. But we have to make an important point here. Somebody walks out and says, yeah, I own the dunya. Remember that the companions of the Prophet, as well as these Anbiya that we mentioned, they went through very, very intense training. Tarbiyah process. Of course, when a Prophet becomes a Prophet, that's it. He's ma'soom. But the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they took time. For example, in Mecca, Rasulullah ﷺ forbade them to visit graves. Because he knew, they're not ready. But in Medina, he said, what? I used to forbid you from going to the graves, but now I allow you to go to the graves. Because he knew at that time, their tawheed, their faith was strong. So also for us here, because nowadays we have a lot of people who want to be active, especially in North America, because alhamdulillah, we have the freedom to be active. But while you're being active, also you have to engage in an intense spiritual training, an intellectual training, so that when you get there in the ring, you know how to conduct yourself. As I was talking one day with Dr. Bangura, he probably doesn't want me to mention his name, but we said that the work ahead of us requires spiritual giants. People who are ready for the challenge. People who have worked on themselves, then they can go out there. Don't go out there and not be ready, because you'll get consumed by things. But sit, learn, attend halaqat, read, ask scholars, coordinate your affairs with scholars. MashaAllah, brother, he wrote a piece here about the electoral, the elections and so on and so forth, and he's distributing it to all the imams in the area. Why? He wants to get feedback on it. So before you run out there, remember that you have to have this intense purification. So we can understand that, as they say, the dunya is a mazra'a. The dunya is a farm. And how you use it depends on two things, either the love of dunya or enslavement to the dunya. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us two options, how to be in this life. When he grabbed Abdullah ibn Umar, some narration said he grabbed Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma by his shoulder. Another narration says he grabbed him like this because he's young. He was a youth. He wants to get his attention. And he told him, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ وَعَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. Be in this life like a traveler or a stranger. That's the two options. غَارِب أو عَابِر. A stranger or a traveler. Ibn Rajib, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Manawi, he brings a beautiful explanation of this. He said that the believer was given two options, a traveler or a stranger. So the Prophet ﷺ said, so live in this life in two ways, as a traveler or a stranger. And this is what Ibn Rajab, he said. He said the first level is what is the traveler. He said, why? Because the traveler, he goes from one place to the next. He doesn't have any place to stay. He never feels comfortable because he knows one day I got to do what? So when someone is traveling, they never feel comfortable until what? And that's why we coined the hikmah in English. There's no place like home. Ah, I'm finally home. And that's why the azab of Allah in Surah Al-Hashr was to kick them out of their homes. It's azab, it's uncomfortable. It's not something people like. So I said, this person is traveling in this dunya, but they never feel comfortable. Why? Because they're not home. Their home is where? Jannah. He said, but the highest level is a stranger. He said, why? Because the stranger is homeless. He has no home. He's walking around in complete discomfort. So he has no place to rest his head until he dies and he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Abdullah ibn Umar used to say, if you live to see the evening, don't expect to live to see the morning. If you live to see the morning, don't expect to see the evening. And take from your health before your sickness comes. Radiallahu anhuma. So what does this mean for us in the West? This understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated this dunya to us to be utilized. Why? To worship Him. Alhamdulillah, in this country we've been given a lot of freedom. So we should take advantage of that freedom and grab whatever we can around us, which is of course طيب, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبَ لَا يَقْبَرُ إِلَى طَيِّبَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good and only accept what's good. And we should utilize these resources to worship Allah. And we've been given this opportunity here. The talent that you have, the quality that you have, the ability that you have, use it to worship Allah here. So here we are in this land, although maybe we say there's a lot of freedom, but there's freedom enough for us, alhamdulillah, to be the abd of Allah. Therefore, we should take advantage of that and utilize this dunya to get close to Allah and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefit the people of this country. We've been given a unique opportunity here compared to other places where there's no freedom to do anything. So here, what can we do? Number one, the election is coming up. Those of us who follow the jamhur of the ulama, the majority of ulama who said that the election is, some of them like Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayy and others said it's an obligation on the Muslims. Those of us who believe that or follow that opinion, those of us who don't, that's fine, alhamdulillah, yani. The deen is wasi'a. But we shouldn't attack each other and fight each other and create fitna on an issue like this. And if we do, this is only a clear proof of our ignorance and stupidity. But those of us who can get involved should get involved to the maximum potential that they can to make their impact felt in this country. Today, I was going to the new Santa Clara Library and there were some people in front of me and they were looking at pictures. Listen to how far people are away from Islam. He said, oh, that guy's got a beard. I thought he was talking about me. That's why he caught my ear. He said, that guy has a beard. He said, oh man, maybe he's going to hurt you. Well, maybe he'll try to cut off your head. Wallahi al-azim. And these were Asian people. They weren't Caucasians. They were Asians. So number two, we should utilize the resources around us to spread the da'wah. Radio, print, books, institutions should be established in America by Muslim communities just for da'wah. Not that we have a little closet in the masjid. This is the da'wah department. An actual mobilized effort to spread the message of Islam. Not to force people to convert to Islam as Mike Savage and these other people savagely say. Or carnivorously say. But to spread the message of Islam. What are Muslims? Who are Muslims? Since the early 60s, has there been an active campaign by Muslims in North America to spread the understanding of their religion? 9/11 was what woke us up. How did I find out about Islam? I found it in a phone book. I called the masjid. I couldn't even find the number of the masjid in the phone book. They had it unlisted. No sign in front of the masjid. And Allah said, Ya ayyuhal mudathir qum fa'andhir. Oh, you covered up? Take off your cover. We're still covered. Everything will be all right. Like Brother Mehdi Bray said. It's a song as well. Everything is going to be all right, akhi. You got to get out there and do something. Because we talked about the importance of islah on a communal level. So number two, da'wah. Number three, we should focus on our families. Wallah al-Azim, we're losing a lot of Muslim kids. We're losing them. And don't blame the Islamic school. Don't blame the masjid. We have to blame ourselves. Focus on our young people at a young age. Try to get them socialized into Islam. Not order them into Islam. Because these young people constitute your dunya. Your kids constitute your dunya. إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوَّ لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Allah mentioned in the Quran that your children, your wives, and wives could be your husbands, can be enemies to you if they keep you away from the obedience of Allah. So we have to utilize them to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that it will be part of our ajr with Allah. We stop now because of time, but inshallah tomorrow we'll continue talking about the meaning of a dunya, and we'll give some examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to further illustrate the points that we made today. And also tomorrow inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about some practical steps that we can do to overcome our love for dunya and to be owners of the dunya and not owned by the dunya. Jazakallahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.